Okay, an imperfect pixel story. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know it's perfect pixel on mine, though, nigga. Hey, what up, though? Motherfucking welcome back to the real, tutorials. You feel me? I could teach any motherfucker how to design anything they want. Party flyers, posters, obituaries, wedding invitations. But y'all niggas don't get married. What is this? Weddings and engagement parties have been replaced by baby showers and gender reveals. What the fuck is a gender reveal? When did that shit become a thing? That shit so motherfucking stupid, kid. Oh, shit. I need to stop recording after 2 o'clock in the morning. But when I'm fresh in thought. Oh, God. All right, let me wake up. But yeah, when I'm fresh and something is fresh on my mind, and as I'm just going to lay it out, I'm going to decide if I'm going to cut that out or not. But, you know, it is what it is, though. But perfect pixel, man. Perfect pixel. Right off the rip. Jew, what's cracking, boy? Hey, my brother for life. My brother in the arts. My brother in design. Like, what's good, bro? Like, man, you already know what it is, man. But, yeah, so it's, when was that, dog? It was our junior year back at the school that, you know, I refuse to name. But, yeah, it was just a regular day, you feel me? And they had like a presentation, and a dude came to talk to us. He was a former art student at the same school. He had moved to Atlanta, or he was from Atlanta, went back home, and started his own graphic design or marketing firm, or you know, whatever. Like, he did graphics for a living in his own office in a suite off of Peachtree, blah, 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 right? But I do remember just soaking up everything that he was saying. And you know, if you can, you know, recall and just remember how just during all of these times, man, I'm still kind of just coasting along. I'm still trying to find my purpose. I'm still trying to find out what am I supposed to be doing out here. Now, my boy has introduced me into the world of graphic design, and I'm about a year in the game now, and I'm just killing everything that I touch, and I'm just addicted to being on my computer and just learning more and more and more about art, design, graphics. You know, I'm into grid layouts, I'm into typography, just everything that has to do anything with graphic design. I'm going to the library, I'm reading books, I'm on YouTube like all day and night, and I'm just fully engulfing myself like, yo, I'm a graphic designer. So he was done with his lecture, you know, we feeling inspired, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, and it was crazy because it's like me and Jude, like instantly, like we both had that look like, yo, if that dude can do it, bro, as fire as you are, as dope as I am, like, bro, like, you think we could combine our superpowers and like really take over this shit? And he was like, hell yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to make fun of your voice, homie. But, you know, but it was like, he was like, hell yeah, let's do this. Like, and like instantly from there, like we just, he was like, bet, let's chop it up. Let's sit down and let's decide like what we going to do, how we going to do it. And I don't, it's, you know, it's been so long ago, but I do just remember us sitting down at a kitchen table. It was probably our kitchen table, dining room table, whatever. And we were going back and forth about ideas and what we want to do. And then we came up with the name. And that's when, you know, graphics and art and computers and everything, and we came up with the Pixel. And it's like, yeah, and we just came up with Perfect Pixel. Like, our work will be so perfect. Our work is so A1 and above anything that the school, anything that the city has ever seen. Like, we bring in that Atlanta, LA, you know, Birmingham, like just bigger cities, and just the influences that we have graphically, and just the things that I've seen and know about, you know, bigger markets and what pulls in crowds and just that type of look and vibe and feel. And we're gonna bring that here, and we're gonna take the city over. Like, because I mean, at the time, like, you know, just because any nowadays, I mean, even back then, like, people feel like, and they just want to say, oh, just because they have Photoshop on their computer that they're a designer, and just because you own a camera that makes you a photographer. Like, nah, like, it takes a specific dedication. It takes a specific skill set. It takes a certain business savvy. Like, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, I do that. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can. You do design, but you're not a designer. There's a big difference. I don't feel like going into that right now, but but we came up with the name, and we were like, all right, man, let's do this. So he started reaching out and, you know, hitting up people he knew. You know, I was talking to people that I knew, and we started off, of course, where we were most known, and it was on campus. And we started just designing stuff for, you know, organizations and parties on campus. And just, you know, he was in a fraternal organization. I know people in other fraternities or whatever, and, you know, we were doing frat parties and different SGA things, and we were just like slowly building our name up around the campus. And it was a success. Like, we literally started, like, I started my first business in college. Second semester of my junior year, I started my own business, and we hit the ground running, and it was successful. It was very successful, and it was something that we both, like, it took us both by surprise. But it was like, I remember us having that conversation, like, bro, like, we knew this shit would happen. Like, dog, like, we two of the best designers on this campus, hands down, bar none. Like, nobody's seeing us. Like, you knew this shit was gonna blow. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we feeling ourselves, man. So I just remember one day, like, it was, I forgot the name of the party. I forgot the name of the venue. And, you know, it's all those details are kind of fuzzy or whatever. But I think it was it Oasis or the Green Room or just one of them clubs down there, man. But we got a call from, you know, I think one of the promoters, he went to school with us, but he promoted and threw parties in the city. And this was like our first outside of campus, you know, gig. Like, we got called up, and they wanted us to design something for them. And we were like, all right, bet, you know. So, like, how we used to do it was, you know, we used to tag team and hand off things. Like, he was very good at, like, layout and, you know, like, laying out, you know, how most flyers are, who, what, where, how much to get in, doors open at 9, free before 10, you know, typical club flyer. Cause, like, club flyers was our bread and butter at first. Like, that's what we were known for. That's what we did. And he was real good at, like I say, just layout. He was, you know, picked a little big, you know, the cute big booty girl to go on there and just kind of do things like that. And I was very skilled at typography choices, font selection, text layouts. And then I would go in and kind of do the, you know, the little photo manipulation, get a little lens flare, you know, make the background, just make it could look complete. Like, he would bake the cake and cook the cake, and then I would lay the icing on and put the name on the cake and stuff like that. It was like, it was a good handoff. We were both kind of good at that. And I would start some, then he would finish it. He would start some, I would finish it. And that's how we did it. But when we got that first, like, outside of the school gig, we were working on the flyer. And I remember us going back and forth, and we were like, yo, like, we gotta, like, let's do something different with this one. Let's push this one a little harder, because it's like, when they see this, like, this gonna push us even further. And we was like, all right, man. So we was kind of sitting up, and I remember working on my part and just staring at the flyer, like, this is dope. Like, just kind of, like I say, all of, you know, I'm living in the now, in that single moment, but I'm still in the back of my mind, like, I'm getting, like excited. I'm happy, like, yo, like, okay, I like this. Like, this is dope. I can see myself doing this. Like, this is what dude was talking about. And then I hit save, and then I sent it to him. And then he finished it up and sent it off to get printed or whatever. So it was like a couple of days later. The party, of course, was probably on a Thursday or a Saturday or something like that. And I remember walking to class. I was just walking to class, and I was cutting through a parking lot. And I saw, like, I wasn't even, like, right up on the car, but it's like, you know, like, it's just normal. You know, you walk through the city, you at the mall, you at the dentist, you at, you know, you anywhere, and you see something on your windshield, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And you may look at it, and like, because the life expectancy of a flyer is probably about, you know, well, back then, I know now it's probably even shorter than that. If flyers on vehicles is even a good form of marketing advertising nowadays, it's probably not. Everything is digital. But back then, flyers, you know, hand out flyers, and then there's like the marketing on your car and put stuff on your car. The life expectancy of a flyer is about 8 to 12 seconds, because you have to pull the person in. They have to, you know, the graphic, that's when the graphics does the work. It pulls the person in. It's like, so that's when, like I say, who, what, when, where, how much, and, you know, something about the party, the theme or whatever, will pull you in. So you look at the flyer, they look at it, they can be like, okay, this is this. And it's like that split second, they be like, oh, let me throw this in my car, this seems interesting. Or fling, they flip that shit and it's on the ground, and then they drive off. But I remember walking through the parking lot, right? And it's like, it called to me. Because I was far away. Like, I couldn't see the clear-cut details. But it's like, when I sat for hours, you know, staring at this, editing it, you know, going back and forth about it. You know, we both worked on this flyer, man. And it's like, it called out to me. And it's like, I knew, like, that font, those colors, like that, you know, where we put our phone, like, it's just like, I just knew that was our flyer. It's like, I haven't seen it in print before. And it's like, I've seen things around campus, you know, they probably print their stuff up on regular computer paper, and they may like hand make some stuff, or they do some things and they just post it up on Facebook when we did stuff around campus. But this was like a club flyer, like somebody had a budget and they went and got these printed overnight prints of, you know, whatever companies or whatever, right? But I my eyes locked onto this flyer, man, and I'm just walking up to a complete stranger's car, and I'm in awe. Like, this, like, again, this is the feeling that, you know, from as far back as I can remember, is, you know, and just that feeling where when you finally see something that you have been working on, that you put work into, that literally never existed before. And this was nothing but an idea inside of your head. And then it was laid out and conceptualized on a computer screen. And you sit there and you stare at it and you bring it slowly to life, layer by layer by layer. And then you see it in the physical form. Like, I didn't even know who this was. I just took the flyer off their car and I just kept walking, right? But I'm sitting here, and like, I didn't go to half the parties that we designed the flyers for. And some of the times our perks were, they would come and let us get in for free or whatever. But I didn't go to half of them. I'm really not a club dude. But seeing that flyer, like, it was just something in that moment. I was like, damn, like, this shit, this feeling is amazing. Like, I am a creator. Like, this shit didn't exist a week ago. Like, this shit was just images and pictures and random words just, and I plucked them out of the atmosphere. I took them from inside of my head and laid them down on this computer screen. And now it exists in this world, and people and other people will see something that we created. And that is the most gratifying, satisfying feeling. And that's just that. That's the high that I chase. That's the reason why I still design and I create today, and I put it on every type of medium. If it's a hat that I want to design, I design it. If it's some clothes or some hoodies, t-shirts, socks, bath rugs, towels, if it's anything that's in my head and I can see it vividly and clear, I stop at nothing until I can manifest it and make it an actual tangible object that you can touch and see and feel and admire. But that flyer was like that first block. It was a starting block, and then we were off. And it was an amazing run. It was an amazing journey. It was an amazing experience. And we were, you know, we were making money, and that's another positive, man. We, you know, lacing our pockets and, you know, doing a damn thing. And at the time, like I said, I'm still living on campus, so my personal finances are, you know, not really that, you know, I don't have too many responsibilities at the time, and everything that I'm making, I'm pocketing, and, you know, just you feeling good, man. It's like, you know, my girlfriend at the time, I'm like, hell yeah, we going out to eat this weekend. No, that shit rare. You know, like I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor, man. And I'm happy, and this shit is dope, man. But, you know how it goes, man. With more money, I'm not even gonna say more problems, but with more money comes more responsibility, and with more money comes, or just with more success and all of that, it comes, you know, we had to pick it up. So we were doing it, and it worked for us, and we were working diligent, we were working hard. Like, we were the perfect tag team, man. Like, me and Jew was the perfect 1-2 punch, the left-right combination. And we were knocking out flyers, knocking out jobs. So now, like I said, club flyers was our bread and butter. But now we getting, like, posters and photo edits and just anything that, you know, nowadays, if you want a graphic artist or a client, or you go to a design firm, like, that's what we were doing. And I was, what was it? Oh, I was taking it all in, and I was loving every single second of it. You see, but again, here we go, Mr. I'm not gonna say dark cloud, but Mr. Overthinker, Mr. Can't enjoy your flowers right now because you worry about shit too much. I started to let doubts, and I started to let fear start to creep in, because we're doing good. We working it. We expanding. We got so big so fast. Like, I know we started off and we took over the campus. Everybody on campus, they knew Perfect Pixel. They knew if you wanted that A1, that quality, you know what I'm saying? Them dope graphics, like, come holler at us. You feel me? And we got you. So we took over the campus. And then we branched out in the city. From that club came another club, Then we got small businesses, and we just got people in the city that just wanted. We had organizations, nonprofits, like, just our business was picking up. And see, and this is when you have to make that transition. And this was a difficult transition for both of us, because, like I said, we weren't businessmen yet. We didn't have that knowledge. We didn't have that mentality. We were just two very talented designers, but we didn't have quite the business savvy, the business sense. We didn't quite know how to handle everything that was coming into us. So, like I said, business was picking up. Things were, like, moving, and, like, like I said, I'm used to my phone being dry. Like, I'm not a real telephone. I wasn't then. I'm still not now. And Only person that calls me and I call them was my girlfriend and a couple of the homies. But now my phone is ringing nonstop. My emails are flooding. I'm getting text messages, all types in the morning. And, you know, because when you're in the mode of growth and you're in the mode of, yo, this is good, man. Like, this is my baby. This is my business. This is my business partner. Like, you're in that space where it's not that you feel obligated, but it's like you just want this so bad. You want it to work so bad. So you start to, neglect different things. And you start to just like throw up blinders with a lot of things. And that's when it started to, like I said, I started to like start worrying about stuff and stuff started to get to me. I started to get mad because it's like, remember art to me and being creative to me and chasing that high and being in the moment of, oh, this is dope. I like this, and basking in that. That was mine. That was my personal getaway, my escape, what I like to do to unwind. Like, people drink wine, people go to the gym and exercise, people whatever you do to unplug from the world for, after work for hours or whatever. To me, like I said, sitting down and designing something, sitting down creating something, that was what I did to get away. But now what I once had for me that was just for mine, I was having to do that for money. I was having to do that for a business, and it started to create that little rift. And then, like I said, at the same time, people are calling me. I don't like talking on the phone. People are texting me. I feel obligated to text them back, to email them back. They're calling me at all types in the morning. So we both came to the conclusion, like, yo, we got to add somebody to the team, somebody who can be the business side of this, who can take the phone calls, answer the emails, shoot out the creative briefs, get all the details so the artist can really just be the artist. I was like, okay, yeah, maybe if I didn't have to talk to anybody, that shit would help. I wouldn't have to worry about, okay, when do you need it? What's this? Like, wasting time talking to somebody, because 9 out of 10 people who come to you hardly ever know what you want. I mean, they don't know what they want. You usually have to tell them what they want. And then once you either just come up with something that you like or that you would think would fit the theme or the design area that they may be wanting, then they want to come with all these details like, you didn't give me not one single detail. All I get is, I just want the pop. I just want to look dope. I just want to, make it look good. And I'm like, but what people fail to realize is that what looks good to me may not look good to you. What appeals to you visually may not appeal visually to you. I have a completely different taste for everything compared to you. So it's like, please, people out there, please listen to me, man. If you work with an artist, a creator, a designer, a producer, take the time, because that's how, that can solve so many headaches. Just be as detail oriented as possible. Take some time to research. Take some time to just say, even if it's something as like, the integrity of the designer, he wouldn't just copy somebody else's work. But if something directly influences you, something like, I just love how this girl laid out her packaging for her weave or whatever, like, and you want yours to look like that. Just an example, right? Take that, screenshot her Instagram page, and do all that shit and send it to the designer and say, I like this. And they can go off of the visual and then trust that designer to go in and do his own research to see your particular style. And he or she will be able to dive deeper and then give you a finished product or give you at least, 3 or 4 different concepts. And then you can take it from there and continue on. But going back to it, so we pulled in a business guy, Ruel, Damn, is that how you pronounce his name? I ain't said homie name in so long. I forgot how to say it. But we pulled him in, and that helped. It did. It helped. It helped a little bit. And so now it's like, no, you know, people still call you. They have my number now, so they just feel like they can call me. They damn the rules. If they got my number, they gonna hit me. And so now it's like, okay, like, so that cut down most of the noise, most of the traffic, and I can focus on creating. I can focus on just, I got this. And you also have to remember, a part of my story was, like I said, I'm still in school. This is my senior year. So now I have graduation in the back of my brain. I have what am I going to do next in the back of my brain? And, you know, let me go all in with Perfect Pixel. Then at the same time, you also have to remember that, oh yeah, it's my senior year, so I'm living off campus, so I definitely have to have a job. So I'm working a job, and I'm not working an easy little desk job or something where I had, you know, I'm working a physical, you know, physically demanding job, and a job where I'm on my feet and I'm moving around and I'm doing all this different shit, right? So I'm actually tired when I get off of work. So all of these factors. And I also have all of these art classes. Like I said, I set myself up for an L when it came to my senior year, not just in school, but out of school as well. So I had, like I said, I had color theory class in the morning, followed by a printmaking class, followed by a jewelry making class, followed by a sculpture class, and then an evening ceramics class. And this was a class where, you know, shout out Miss Couch, man. Miss Couch is the dopest ceramics teacher and just a dope woman and one of my favorite professors. I had to give you a shout out. But like, we would have to sit there and, you know, like, this is a hands-on class. Like, it took skill. Like, I'm throwing clay on a wheel and I'm getting my ghost on. I'm throwing, like, she had an assignment. We had to make like 50 pots. So I had to do that. And again, like I tell you, you have to remember, like, art and being creative and just, you know, all of this stuff is a passion of mine. So I don't go half-assed when it comes to anything creative, when it comes to anything artistic. Like, I put my all into it. So I feel dedicated to my schoolwork because, like, this shit is interesting. Like, yo, I'm making coffee mugs from scratch. I'm making plates. I'm on the wheel making a vase. Like, I'm doing this, I'm working with my hands, which is what I love to do. So I'm giving that my all. Then I'm going to work. And at work, you know, I mean, I don't care about that place. It's just a paycheck or whatever. But it's draining me physically. So I'm already getting creatively drained because I'm having all these different art classes. And then I have to go physically work to make money, to pay my bills, pay rent. And then I'm working on my thing, my baby, my thing that I'm passionate about at night, you know, losing sleep. I can't kick it with my girl. She, you know, she waiting up on the couch for me as long as she can. And then, you know, like, she, you know, it's something. And it's like, you know, they love you, you know, they support you, but it takes a different type of love and a different type of understanding to be with not only an entrepreneur, but a creative entrepreneur, because I'll get into that later. But it's like, I'm losing sleep, I'm losing quality time with my girl at the time, and I'm just like, I'm my candle is burning on both ends, and it's starting to affect me. It wasn't affecting my work because I just wouldn't, you know, I don't want to let them see me sweat. You didn't never let them see me sweat. I didn't complain. I didn't do any of that. I just took it on the chin and just kept going. I kept going because I really wanted this. Like, I'm almost done with school. You know, a job is a job. Like I said, I have to work. I got to eat and pay bills and do all that shit. And this is my baby. This is my homie. This is my business partner. I can't let him down. I don't want to let him down. We got to keep getting clients and all of this stuff, right? But it's slowly crumbling behind the scenes. So now let's fast forward a little bit, like I said, but I'm maintaining. I'm good. You know, I got through it. walked across the stage, flinging that bullshit general art degree in a box somewhere. And now it's gung ho. But like with any business, with any anything where any, especially in the freelance world and being a creative entrepreneur, it comes with its ups and its downs. Like we're new, even though we making big bank and big bank for college students at the time, but we making okay money. Like I say, we still have to work. And now I'm not in school anymore, and I need more money. So I have to pick up a second job. So now I'm working two jobs, and I can say, okay, well, since I'm not in school, I filled that time slot into my day with another job. So now I'm working job one, design a little bit, job two, design all night long. And this is when I started to get, kind of jealous of Jew, because he, like I said, he is a tattoo artist. And like I said, he is still, like I say, with us, like I said, it's never any bad blood. I never, like, no rifts ever came between us. Like, we still A1, been down since then and still are now. And it was never any button of heads between us, but it was all on me. And I used to look at him and I used to get jealous, like, bro, like, you can just do this shit with ease, my dude, because you work at a tattoo shop. A tattoo shop is never swamped. You're not moving and sweating and lifting and being physically drained every single day. You may come in there and deal with an asshole who don't want to pay the price for a tattoo, but like tattoo shops are run by appointments. You sitting down in a comfortable air conditioned environment. But like I said, I can't, you know, those are just my observations from the outside looking in. I don't know his everyday move, his own struggles, the shit he's going through, the money he's obligated to, you know, about his life. Those are just my observations from Steve's perspective. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm just feeling like, damn, this dude, like, it's like, maybe I could feel better and I would feel, you know, more. Because, you know, a tattoo artist, you can make decent money. So he good. That's what I'm thinking. Like I said, I don't know. I don't count his pockets or whatever. I'm just looking at the situation leading up to what can I do to be more comfortable in an environment where I can feel like I can create more. Because now at this given time, like I say, working two jobs and still being obligated to come home and then design at nighttime is starting to affect me. And now it's starting to affect my work. And I'm getting tired. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting short. And it just came to that point to where I'm like, that's when I started having those thoughts in my mind. Like, damn, do I really want to do this anymore? Because again, I'm having that personal rift. And things are good, man. I'm telling you, like, we still got clients. We still, like, our bread and butter is coming in. We still doing flyers. We doing posters. Now, we're doing business cards. Anything print-based, we're doing. And then we were even starting to, like, try and venture into who. Here we go again, telling you how old we are. But MySpace pages was popping, you know, designing MySpace pages and shit. That sound funny even saying that shit. But yeah, so we were just like, business was good. Business was, you know, moving. But like I say, it wasn't at a place where we, either one of us, could live off of it yet. It was just, you know, slow build, steady grind. Slow build, steady grind. Like, you know, that's the path that we were on, man. And I knew we was popping too. Like, hey, yo, dog, you remember when we had that hater? Like, cuz would get online and, like, he was throwing hella salt. Cuz I think his name was, his name had Pixel in it. And then he was running around small ass city. Of course, we gonna hear about it or whatever. He, like, my name had Pixel in it first. These hating ass, like, these niggas wanna be me, blah, blah. He was talking shit, man. And I was like, we both was like, man, you ain't popping if you ain't got no haters, man. I'm like, we really done made it. You feel me? Like, we got this. Like, this dude was salty. Like, he He trying to block business from us, man. But it's like, but you couldn't compare our work. Like, we stood above and beyond anybody that was, you know, creating graphics at the time, man. But it was, I think, like I said, I think it was, it was that internal rift. It was, all of this is within me. And I was like I said, I just like to get on my computer and create just to create, and create to unwind, to create to, like I say, if it's a dope little idea that I have and I want to go take it to, because at the time, all the resources that you have while you're in school is like, why don't we, or why didn't we ever think about having those, you know, or using them and utilizing them while we were in school? And I didn't really even think about it until my senior year. But my old printmaking professor would let me come in sometimes and use the print studio still. And I would like make t-shirts, like one of ones. Like, I would have an idea and I would design it up. I made like a Cali Boy shirt. I made like a, it was dope. Like, it was a black tee and it had the map of Los Angeles on it. Like a Google, I Google mapped it and inverted the colors. It was just black and white. So it was just all the city streets and the names and all of that. And then I just had Cali Boy like blacked out. So it was over it or whatever. And, you know, I went, you know, put the emotion on the screen, you know, expose the screen, clean the screen, you know, lay it out, my ink. Like, I printed my own t-shirt, like did the whole thing. And it was like, damn, I did all that for one shirt. And then I eventually was like, at least let me get my money's worth or my time's worth, and at least print up like, you know, four or five or whatever. But I mean, that's what brought me joy. Like I said, art and creating and DIY and just do it myself, one of ones, and just flexing my creative muscles like that. I use that for me, my personal time and my personal like sanity. Like, that's what I like to do. That's my hobby. And then having to be obligated to, you know, basically work for 40 and 50 different people. Because I mean, when you're a freelancer, yes, you are your own boss and you are making your own money. But in the retrospect, and you really think about it, you actually work for every person that inquires about your services. Like, you can be working for 10, 15, 20 people at any given time. So, like I said, clients are not the easiest people to work with. And some people, some glorious, you know, heaven sent clients know exactly what they want. They have clear, quality pictures. They have details. They have color schemes. They have examples. They do all of that. Those are like finding a four-leaf clover on the bottom of a leprechaun shoe that's riding a unicorn. It's very fucking rare and sometimes impossible. But working with clients also was just something else that just rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, I don't fucking feel like dealing with this shit, man. Like I said, I'm having this internal rift. But like I say, man, I don't want to complain. I don't want to let my homie down. Like, this is my business. Like, we popping, we doing this. I feel all of this, but inside of me, it's a rift. It's like, I'm getting burnt out. I'm getting exhausted. And then, it came a point in time where like my personal life, like I said, on top of a lot of different factors, like it was, I had a girlfriend and she knew that, she knew I was a designer. She knew she was still in school and she knew what I did and she supported me and she loved me and she was, you know, but like I said, it takes a different type of understanding. It takes a different type of anything. If a woman wants to be with a creator, a creative person, and an entrepreneur, it takes a lot to be like, you know, to understand and know, like, yo, when he say, I can't really do that right now. And it's like, because I feel bad because I'm the type of dude where I want to like spoil the girl that I'm with. I want to take her nice places. I want to do things. I want to go play. And it's like, I'm literally the epitome and the definition of the broke, starving artist. And it's like, but you don't want to be that in the eyes of your woman. You don't want to be that. And it's like, you feel torn. Like I said, now I love this thing, art. That's always been my first love. I love this woman that I'm with. I want to spoil her and show her the world and take care of her and do everything for her. I have to work and take care of myself, and I have to, you know, be there for me. I have this business that I love, that I created. I have my homie that I don't want to let down. And I'm so pulled in so many different places mentally and creatively and emotionally that I just reached a breaking point. And I remember just one day I was working with, I'm not gonna drop their name. I'm not gonna drop their name, but I was working on their flyer, and they had contacted us. Oh yeah, back to that real quick though. But this is what also, you know, is one of those. If I would have known then what I know now, it probably would have like helped both of us out, and it would probably definitely help me out. It's time management, it's scheduling, it's sticking to and creating contracts, it's getting your money up front, it's setting a set office hours, it's having separate emails and separate phone numbers, you know, from just, you know, no personally, like have a business email, have business phone lines that we can disconnect or put on do not disturb that still come to our cell phones. But like I say, it was back in the day. It's not, I mean, it wasn't ice ages ago, but all of that technology exists today, but it didn't really then. But we would just had to be creative to do so. And just like I say, hassling, you know, chasing down people to get paid. And, you know, just all of those little factors where it's like, if we would have just tightened that up or really just had people, like I say, create something as important as, because this is a tie into my last little piece, right? Something as important as when you talk to a client and they come to you either FaceTime, email, you know, phone call, and they say, I want a flyer. And it's like, okay, cool. And then you set up a contract, they go over it. In that contract, it says something like, we go over it after the creative brief, you pay half up front because that will set them into committing to this job, and it will not waste our time, and we will not be working for free and chasing you down. And then it will be beneficial for both of us. And then as well, we set up a revision limit, because if we come up with something and we, you know, you pay half your money and we come up with concept, like we come up, we say we'll come up with at least 3 to 4 concepts, depending on what the project is. Then after that, you have a 3 revision limit, because if you don't set parameters with people, if you don't give people rules, they will just run all over you. So you tell them after 3 revisions, if you're not liking the progress that we're going in, and it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to work together, I will refund you your deposit, and then you can go about your merry way and find somebody who may be able to work with you and bring your vision to life. But we just had unlimited revisions, no office hours. We weren't getting money up front. We were just, like I said, we were learning as we were going. But at that, like I say, at that time for me, if I would have had that structure, if those rules and those contracts and just getting paid and just knowing what was what would have been in place, I probably would have survived. But bringing it back, this dude contacted us, and Julian actually had a lot of stuff on his plate. And at the time, like I said, I was kind of telling him like, yo, bro, like I actually talked to him and I said, look, man, like I got these 2 gigs. And shit, like I gotta, you know, focus on getting more hours, like bread kind of funny, you know, like I say, with the business, it's ups and downs, our money wasn't consistent. And I was like, I just gotta kind of pick it up at work. So, you know, let's increase your cut and I'll decrease my cut because I'm working more. And let me just pull in, you know, you work on more flyers, you know, you pull in more jobs, I'll pick up, you know, pick up some pieces, but I'm working more because I gotta get refocused, bro. And we had that conversation and I was cool with it. But I was working with this one client. I pulled in, looked at his information, came up with the flyer, sent him the concept. Like, I sent him the concept probably maybe 3 or 4 hours later. And that 3 or 4 hours later was maybe 8 o'clock in the 8 o'clock at night. Gets it back. He tells me, "Oh, bro, yeah, man, we got a venue change." So the venue changed, and then he didn't say anything else. I was like, "Man, I made that change in like 20 seconds. Send it back to him. "Oh, yo, dog, yeah, man, let me add one more. Like, can we add another DJ or the D's, like something else?" It was like every revision was like a hydra. It would cut the head off and three more revisions would come back after I would send in one. So then I changed the venue, I changed the DJ, I changed the contact information for him. Then he sent me another revision, like, "Hey, bro, like, you know, like, we source our images and we get different things from offline, and we, you know, get the little models, the little, you know, baddie with her booty out, and just little, you know, model chicks, and put them on flyers." And he was like, "Hey, man, I ain't really feeling this girl, man. Like, you got anybody cuter?" And I literally sat and stared at my phone for like 10 minutes. Like, you know how you write a text and you delete it, and you write a text and you delete it? Like, that's what I was doing in the email. I was like, "You stupid mother." I would delete it. And like, "Yo, you know what? Delete." And then I just sat there like, "Bro, I can't believe this." And I was like, I just sent him, "What is cute to you? Like, what do you want? What do you need?" Again, I'm giving him leeway. "Here you go. Go hop online. Go find whoever you think is cute. I'll Photoshop her ass out the picture, put her on the flyer, and we'll go about our day." This motherfucker sent me back a reply that said, "I don't know, bruh. I just don't like her." Again, I sat there. I tapped on my desk. And I said, "All right, man. All right. Like, okay. Like I said, man, in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is my business. This is my baby. This is my homeboy. Like, I don't want to let him down. Like, we started this together. Like, don't quit. Don't do this. Don't, you know, this happens. He's a client. You know, let's finish this up and we got it." So, okay. So I just go online. I went on the website. I think it was like Official PSDs or it was something. I was just like, you know what? The first cute chick, I just didn't care. I just scrolled on the page. I clicked on the link, female models or something like that, and I just scrolled with my eyes closed and picked the girl, downloaded it, put it on the, I didn't care. I picked it, I put her on the flyer, and then that was it. And I was like, all right, bro. So that was like one of those, "Here you go, no more changes, no more revisions. I gave you the last thing you mentioned, that's it." I hit send, and I literally sat down, closed my computer, got up, and went and laid in the bed. Now it's like 2:30 in the morning. My motherfucking phone starts ringing. He's calling me. He's not emailing me anymore. He's calling me, which means he probably was emailing me, but I shut my computer, so I wasn't responding to him. And I'd be damned if I had email on my phone, because I probably would have threw that shit out the car a long time ago. But he's calling me, and I'm like, "Dude, you know that it's 2 o'clock in the morning. That showed me right there that you don't give a fuck about me. You don't give a fuck about my time. You don't give a fuck. You don't respect me. You not taking in consideration that I'm, you know what I'm saying? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to get some sleep. We've been going back and forth about this flyer since 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon the previous day." So I get up. I grab my phone. I answer it. I said, "What, bruh? What the fuck do you want?" And he was like, hey, bro, like he offended. I'm like, you calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, make this shit quick, bro. What the fuck do you want? He like, hey, bro, like, I'm just saying, man, I'm still not feeling that girl, right? And then I need to add, like, he was just adding more texts, like, just like, yeah, we got Moet, we got, you know, bottle specials and come and buy this and do that. And I was like, man, you mean to tell me this shit can't wait till the morning? Like, bro, you calling me for some more bullshit details? I said, check this out, bro. Fuck you. Fuck that party. Fuck that flyer. Fuck everything you got going on. Get the fuck off my phone, bro. And I hung up on his ass. And then, of course, he calls me back. I said, bro, you know what? Like, don't ever call my phone again, my nigga, because you're going to have to see me, like, straight up. Like, nigga, don't ever call my phone again. Like, you know what? Like, bro, you doing all this dumb shit, making all these silly ass changes. You trying to put a whole dictionary worth of words on a club flyer that people not even going to look at for more than 5 seconds. Like, nigga, if they fuck with you, and you doing your job in branding and marketing, this flyer won't mean shit. They'll come to the party because you are a dope party promoter. You throw dope parties. Fuck this stupid ass flyer, man. Like, this flyer don't mean shit. That just means you ain't confident enough in your party promoting skills or whatever the case may be. But you know what, bro? You gonna get your money back tomorrow because I'm not fucking with you, bro. Like, fuck you. Get off my phone. I hung that shit up. And I ain't never talked to that nigga. Like, I ain't never deal with that, him and his business again. I was like, bro, I'm not fucking with him. I told Julian that shit, man. And that situation, it broke me. Like, it literally broke me. And I was like, bro, I can't do this. I can't do this. So, I had to sit down and really have that conversation with myself and came to a conclusion that, like, yo, like, I love this shit so much, but this was a part, this was a time where it's just shit was so tumultuous. Like I said, all of my own personal life outside of Perfect Pixel was just kind of falling apart, and things were, you know, confusing, and I just didn't have a grasp on anything. And I'm like, I'm stressed personally, I'm stressed professionally, and I'm just like, bro, something has to give, something has to change. And I just made the decision. So I talked to my nigga, I chopped it up with him. I was like, bro, we've been doing this shit almost 3 years, bro. Like, this shit was dope. This shit was the most gratifying experience that I've ever had, man. And but I just had to come to that conclusion that, like, freelancing and just being a, you know, self-employed graphic designer is just not for me. And it was hard. It was hard. Like, I beat myself up because I felt like I was letting him down. I felt like I was letting my business down. Like, this was my baby. Like, we created this sitting at the table, you know what I'm saying? Two, still in college, you know, two college students that had a dream, and then we were fulfilling that dream. But sometimes life and sometimes reality will kick in, and you have to see what will come from that, man. But it was just like, so many things could have happened differently. So many things could have been changed early on. And, you know, maybe I would have been able to, you know, ride out the storm. But it was what I needed, man. And it was for my own sanity. Because, like I said, all of that stuff that I was dealing with that I wasn't sharing with nobody. Like, my girlfriend would see me, like, my face and my actions and my, you know, my body language was changing. She could tell I was tense. She could tell I was stressing. She could tell something was wrong with me, but I would never tell her what was wrong with me. I was like, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm just trying to get this work done. I'm just trying to, you know, boom, 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 right? And I wasn't there completely with her. So I was neglecting her. And It was just so much shit, man. But I sat down and I just chopped it up with you, man. I was like, look, bro, like, I fuck with you. it's not you. Like that whole, that weak ass breakup shit. Like, it ain't you, it's me. But and you know, we came to that mutual agreement. I was like, look, bro, like, I'm fully giving you the reins, man. Like, I love what we started, and I want you to continue to, you know, take this shit as far as you can, bro. Like, and do what you must with it. But it's like, I just decided that, and it's sometimes you have to do things. And it's like, as I can say, like, I've started my own business before. I've been doing this shit for a long time. I've been designing for a long time. I started, I ran, I had a successful graphic design company. I can say that. But the realm, the business setup, just the whole, you know, area of freelance graphic design, I can personally say that I did it and I don't like it. I did it and I don't want to do that anymore. Like, even to this day, like, even my close personal homies, like, when they send me stuff and they say somebody needs a flyer, I would literally, like, that, like, put such a bad taste in my mouth. I'd be like, I don't do flyers. I don't care. I don't do flyers. Like, saying, unless I really, really, really fuck with you, and you my nigga, you my friend, you a family member or something like that, you know, I will compromise, you know what I'm saying? And I will do a flyer for an event for, you know, non-profit stuff, just, you know, and stuff like that. But just a random person who knows that I design through somebody. Like I said, I don't even put myself out there in the freelance realm anymore. But like I said, my reputation, my skill set, and things that I've done speaks for me. My work speaks for me. My track record speaks for me. My skill set speaks for me. So if they seek me out, I personally now set myself up where I send out questionnaires. Like, I won't work with you unless you're ready to work and you give me what I need to work proficiently. Like, my time is very important to me now. Like, my time will not and will never be wasted. I will get my money up front. There is specific questions that need to be answered. There are cutoffs when it comes to revisions. And like I said, it's no love lost. It's like, yo, it's business. I know how to separate business and personal. Like, all things that I had to learn. But I don't, you know, I don't really do a whole lot of freelance. And like I said, if you go out your way and you contact me and you really want to work with me and you know what I can do, then I'll, like I said, I'll make exceptions, but I know how to set things up like that. So, but Perfect Pixel, man, that was my baby, man. And I believe, like, bro, like, hit my line or, you know, hit me, you know, slide in my DM or something, bro. Like, it's still up and going, right? Like, I hope you listen to this, bro. But I think Perfect Pixel is still kicking. Like, he's still a tattoo artist, and I'm proud of you. Like, my boy Jew, like, I've seen your ascension. I've seen your glow up. I've seen you rise. And you have your own tattoo shop. You travel, you tattoo, and you still do graphics. And you're getting into spray painting now. That's hella dope. Like, you feel me? Like, you got to teach me some mural skills. You feel me? But I'm proud of you, homie, man. And I'm proud and I'm happy of what we started. I'm proud of what we did, what we were able to accomplish, man. And that you took the reins. And you still keep Perfect Pixel alive in some shape or form, bro. So just that was a very proud moment for me, man. I created and I started my own business, man, when I was a junior in college. And I took it far. It took us far. Like, we were working with people that we never thought and even knew we existed. And it was dope, man. It was amazing. It was a real good experience. It was a real good journey, man. And yeah, man, PPD. For life.